Man, have you ever listened to some good music and get excited about waking up to the playlist you made before bed? Hashtag good memories. I can already tell my vibration tomorrow going to be on another level.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter, as always, at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today, we are looking back at Sunday's games. We are previewing Monday's games, giving a little bit of an injury update as well. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it indeed.
Let's start off by looking at an upset as the New York Knicks beat the Miami Heat 124-121. With Justice Winslow out, James Johnson took that role and played well. 19 points, 7 shot attempts, only 6 of 7 from the field. He's out of the rotation when Winslow's back, but he's taken the role of Kelly Olynyk. And he is playing decently well. Again, when Winslow returns, whoever knows when that's going to be, Johnson's likely out of the rotation. This was also a good game from Kendrick Nunn, 20 points. He had a steal and a block. Really bad rebounds, as he always is. Only one assist. Shot 60% from the field. But again, 31 minutes is not the norm. He hasn't done that in quite a while. He hasn't been this efficient. He hasn't scored this highly either. I don't view him, as you're all well aware, as a 12-team must-roster guy. Tyler Hero had 15 points in 22 minutes, while Derek Jones went from a huge game down to just 3 points in 19 minutes. He did have a triple one. He should be viewed only as a defensive stats streamer type option. Jim Butler, 25, 10 and 6, while Bam Adebayo had 15, 6 and 5, and the Spur Duncan Robinson knocked in 3 threes, exactly what you want him to do. That is his role in the NBA, it's his role in fantasy, and I don't think you can complain too much about that. For the Knicks, Julius Randle returned, 26, 8 and 4, 2 steals, that's a huge bonus. Also, 5 of 6 from the free throw line from Randle, really strong stuff, while RJ Barrett had one of his best games. Let's start with the percentages. 70% from the field, 80% from the line. Awesome. That is where he's really been hurting you this season. 23, 5, and 3 with 2 steals is a great counting stats as well. I don't trust it yet at this point, but it is encouraging to see him at least get to that level in this game, and let's see where it goes. I don't understand what's happening with the center spot. 31 minutes for Taj Gibson. He was 14 and 8 with a steal and a block. Absolutely serviceable stuff. No problem. Great performance from Taj. No worries. He's old. He's not the future of this team. Like, why are we putting him in so many minutes? And yes, you can say it's because Mitch Robinson did have foul troubles, because he did. He played 15 minutes and had 5 fouls. But last game, Taj played 26 minutes and Robinson had no foul trouble. So it's not just that. Is Taj an ad? No. He's a really low upside guy. He's like a 16-team league guy. Mitch Robinson, to me, is still a hold, but it's really frustrating the way that Mike Miller has been using him. Lord Alfred Payton, 31 minutes, 10, 4, and 5. Solid enough. He's a 12-team league guy. While the Fort, Kevin Knox, 17 points in 20 minutes, one of his best performances. There was no Marcus Morris again. No Frank Ntilikina in this one. I'm not overreacting to this from Knox at all. While Reggie Bullock had 16 points with 4 triples, he also got an increase in his role with Morris sidelined. And with Randle back, Punch Bob went back to the bench, 4 points in 17 minutes. If you didn't need any further indication as to not rostering Portis in a 12-team league, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Don't roster him in a 12-team league. That's basically what I'm trying to say. Let's move on. The next game on Sunday, and one of the early ones, the Utah Jazz comfortably beat the Wizards 127-116 on the road. They had no Mike Conley and no Don Mitchell, so Manuel Mudiay stepped into the starting lineup. 30 minutes for Manny, 14, 5, and 5. Really solid stuff, but of course there's no long-term value in that. In fact, he is a real chance to be out of the rotation completely when everyone is healthy on this squad. Jingle and Joe had 20 points, 9 assists, and 2 steals. Ingles, I think, will start when Conley returns. This level of production, though, will probably drop off a little bit, making him a bit of a sell high, while Bojan Bogdanovic, 31 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, took on so much of Mitchell's usage in this game and did it in a great way with some big performances and big minutes. The rest of this squad, Jordy Clarkson, strong from him, 23 and 34 minutes. But again, the other two guards are out, so we don't rely upon this. While Gobert had 21 and 14 with two blocks and not much else to really talk about from a Jazz perspective. On the Wizards side of things, Bradley Beal was back, so that's obviously encouraging. The minutes weren't great there with him, and that is a concern. He should never have been playing the minutes that he was playing, and I think that they're going to drop him down. I don't think it's going to be down at this 27 minutes that he played here in this game, where he had 25 points and 4 assists, but 31 to 32 seems reasonable. We also had the tank, Tom Bryant, return. Now, he only played 15 minutes and had 8-3. He's missed 6 weeks with a broken foot, though, so that's to be expected. Don't panic. He is a 12-team league guy still. While Yan Mahinmi, probably his best game, 15, 6, and 7 assists for Yan Mahinmi. What? 2 steals and a block, 31 minutes. He won't stick at this level. Bryant will come back for that. While if Davis Bertans is around anywhere in any league, 18 points, 4 triples, 26 minutes, he's a must-roster guy. Ish Smith had that little run. That's over. 9 points, although the 7 assists are still nice. While Isaiah Thomas, bad again. 8 points in 20 minutes. Not a 12-team league guy. And Jordan McRae, probably going to be hard for him to maintain solid 12-team value. 16 in 25 minutes, which is all right. And I think the same goes for Troy Brown, who had 9 and 6 in 31. Brown was a guy, again, that I talked about, that when these players come back, he's going to see a bit of a hit. The big mitten, Gary Payton, started, played 12 minutes. God knows why. Or Isaac Bonga, or had 4 and 7 in his 22 minutes. So interesting to see that Beal and Bryant are back, and this rotation's going to take shape over the next couple of weeks as the other players begin to return and start to change how the rotation looks for Scotty Brooks. Didn't mean for that to rhyme. To get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality at-home cycling experience at less than half the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone. Busy mums and dads, first responders, elite athletes, whatever it is, whatever your activity level. And with daily live and on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym. You'll love Echelon, but if you aren't 100% satisfied, we'll give you your money back. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon. Don't pay a ton for Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com/LONBA to learn about their limited time free Apple iPad and complete details of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's echelonfit.com/LONBA. echelonfit.com/LONBA. All right, on to the next game of the day. Third game of the day, we're looking at the Golden State Warriors losing to the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies with another victory. They are rolling at the moment. Memphis currently in the eighth seed in the Western Conference. 122-102 for Golden State. D'Angelo Russell returned. 34 points in 35 minutes. 5 triples, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. All of the shutdown doomsday naysayers. It gets bandied about so much and so often in fantasy circles. D'Angelo Russell's had 2 injuries where multiple people have suggested to me that he's going to get shut down, and then he's back in business. Now, they will be extra cautious with injuries, no doubt about that, because they're not going anywhere. But they're not just going to stop playing players, and that's sort of the idea here. Draymond, only 23 minutes, but really still productive. 3 points, that's not good. 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks is really good. While the triangle, Eric Paschal, played 30 minutes, 10-5-5 with 5 steals. Great from Paschal, but Damian Lee was out. Now, Damian Lee, multiple people have asked me this. He is not a drop. He went back to the G League today because they are still finalizing the details, and they have to wait a couple of days for the salary cap stuff to be able to convert him to a full-time contract. So he will likely be back in the next game or two, back starting, and that's going to impact Paschal. The Wizard, Omari Spellman, started again, 27 minutes, 12-4, 2 blocks, 3 threes, 1 steal. He should be rostered in all 12-team leagues, while my mate, Willie Cauley-Stein, I told you I had skepticism about this bloke, 1 point in 17 minutes, he can go. Alec Burks, 13 in 28 minutes, I think still a soft hold in 12-team leagues. Well, Jordy Poole had one of his better games, 13 in 27 minutes, but again, with Lee out, that was giving him some extra playing time in that scenario. For the Grizzlies, Big JV, Jonas Valanciunas, 31-19 with two blocks. Just an absolute monster performance. Brandon Clark only the 19 minutes, but still was productive. 9-11 with a steal and a block for Clark. The defensive numbers are starting to come for him a little bit more now. Triple J had 21-5. He hit three threes. He had two blocks. He just missed extending his streak of multiple three-block, three-triple games. He was at three. He's just missed it by one block to get to four. Well, Ja Morant didn't shoot well, but 11-7-10 is still pretty good. And our mate, De'Anthony Melton, you look at him and you go, how can you say the 12-team, a guy who gets 20 minutes a game almost maximum, is a 12-team must roster, but 10-3-5, two steals and two blocks. That's why. We want him to get 26 minutes, but even if he doesn't, it probably doesn't matter. Now, I talked about it in the waiver wire show today that I'd started to come around on Dylan Brooks. Maybe he's being more consistent. Yeah, 7 points in 26 minutes. I made a fool of myself with that one. No assists, no steals, no blocks, no threes, two rebounds. Back to the shitful Dylan Brooks of old. This is the worry with him. He still can be a 12-team league guy, but he's probably better suited to 14-team as well. Mr. Inconsistent himself, Jay Crowder, had 5 points in 20 minutes. He is literally the new one.
Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
Sometimes maybe shit indeed. Let's move on to the next one. We're looking at the Toronto Raptors and the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs get the victory in the end, 105-104. DeMar DeRozan, at some point it's got to stop. 25 points on 58% shooting. This level of shooting is going to fall at some point. I don't know when it will happen, but it will. 25 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists is great. Maximum Derek White.
Maximum Derek.
13-4-4 with 3 blocks. This is why I like him. He's efficient. He blocks shots. He can get assists. He can get rebounds. The minutes have been the concern. There's no way we can rely upon it, though. DeJounte Murray played only 21 here. Maximum Derek probably goes back to 21 next game. We know he's good. We just don't know when he's going to get that opportunity to show it. Same with Jakob Poeltl, who did start the second half here. 20 minutes, 4 points, 10 rebounds, and 2 blocks. Give him 24 minutes, 23 minutes even, and he's a 12-team league player. While Rudy Gay had 15 in 20 minutes. Trey Lyles, I don't know why. I know why, because he spaces the floor. He's not good at it, and he's not good at playing in general. So he only played 14 minutes, while Bryn Forbes played 20 minutes, and the drip Lonnie Walker just the 10. Forbes had played well in the last two games, but Popovich's rotation continues to be inconsistent, to be kind. For the Raptors, they did welcome back Norman Powell, who had 20 points in 31 minutes, 4 triples and 4 assists. He is a must-roster player in 12-team leagues. Pascal Siakam returned. The efficiency was rough, 15-5-4 in 30 minutes, while Kyle Lowry had 16 points and 15 assists with 2 steals. Now, Marc Gasol did not play, but he is going to be back really soon. This is probably your last opportunity to sell high on Serge Ibaka. 21-14 in 32 minutes. He is going to lose a lot when Gasol is back. While Chris Boucher, the water boy, only 9 minutes, but 2 steals, a block, 7 points is good. He's just going to have zero opportunity when everyone's back. With Powell back, we had Pat McCaw move to the bench. He played 20 minutes. Any value that he had was on the back of him playing 40 a night. He's not doing it anymore. So he can go, well, Terrence Davis's one start turned into one start only. 0 points on 0 of 6 shooting. And the Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
8-3 in 29 minutes. I do not believe, I'll stress this again, I do not believe that OG Anunoby is a must-roster 12-team league player. Let's go now. Next game, the Brooklyn Nets. They beat the Atlanta Hawks pretty tidily, 108-86. Let's start with the Hawks, who without Trae Young, Cam Reddish, had 16 points in the first half, only 20 overall, 5 steals and 4 threes. Still only shot 38% from the field, but one of the things I talked about with Reddish coming out of college, and he was absolutely dreadful in shooting, but he took a high volume of threes and he had a really good steal rate. And those two things can translate into fantasy value. And that's literally what we saw here. 4 threes, 5 steals, poor efficiency, only 2 assists, but those things were encouraging. He's not a 12-team ad by any stretch, but that's an encouraging night. With no Trey, Brandon Goodwin started 27 minutes, 8-4-3 with 2 steals. Just a deeper league guy. While Fandapant struggled, 8 points on 11 shots for Kevin Huerter with 5 assists and 5 rebounds. Overall, just absolutely miserable from the Hawks. DeAndre Hunter was terrible. 2 points in 17 minutes. You don't need me to tell you that he is not, under any circumstance, a 12-team league guy. We also had a bloke called Paul Watson played 13 minutes and Charlie Brown play 11 minutes, if you want to know how the Hawks are looking at the moment. For the Nets, Kyrie Irving is back. What? 20 minutes, 21 points, 10 of 11 shooting, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal. It turns out, guys, he is actually good, and that's awesome to see him back. I had really significant doubts of him returning, but he's back, and he played fantastically. The problem here is, what the hell do we do with Spencer Dinwiddie? They started together, which was curious to me. Brought Caris LeVert off the bench. Dinwiddie struggled. 7 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists. Now, the 8 assists are strong. If you go back to the start of the season when Kyrie was playing, Dinwiddie was not a 12-team league guy. I worry that it's going to get back to that. You don't drop him yet, of course, but I do worry about that. DeAndre Jordan was pretty strong, 13 and 8 there, while Jarrett Allen struggled for 10 and 12, while Rowdy Rodions, Kuruks, 23 minutes, looking much better at the moment, Rodions, but with everyone returning to action for this team, full strength for the Nets now, there's just not going to be enough minutes there. Garrett Temple played only 21, Luau Cabro dropped down to 8 minutes, Torian Prince only 21 minutes, but this game was such an ass-kicking that nobody needed to play big minutes, so it's hard to get a full read on the rotation. I am really worried about what's going to happen with Dinwiddie. I also think Smoke and Joe Harris is not, and I've said this for a while, it is not a must roster 12-team league player. Okay, on to the next game. We look at the Phoenix Suns. They get the victory over the Hornets in the end. 100-92. Devontae Graham, real nice bounce back game. Still horrible shooting numbers, 39% from the field, but 22 points, 8 assists, 3 steals, 4 triples. That's what you want him for. Last game was a disaster. The shooting's not going to get better, but that's really strong numbers. While Miles Bridges continues to impress. 14, 5, and 5, 2 steals and a block. This is what I thought he would be at the start of the season. It just took 3 months to get here. He is a 12-team league guy at this point, while the Baconator, Dwayne Bacon, sure took a lot of shots. This is a weird rotation game for the Hornets. Marvin Williams not in the rotation at all, despite allegedly being healthy. Bacon played 32 minutes and had 24 points. That's something to watch for deeper leagues. I don't think he's ever going to be a 12-team guy, but it's something to watch. Nick Batum, also in the rotation, weirdly, playing 32 minutes. Now, he did absolutely nothing and is not a fantasy option. It was a shit night from Terry Rozier, 5 points on 1 of 10 shooting. He's been much better than that, while Paul Washington Jr. was also bad, 4, 3, and 2. I am not convinced that all season he will remain a 12-team must-roster guy. For now, he is, but this is not a great performance. Biombo had to go to the locker room after getting hit in the face. That meant 30 minutes for Cody Zeller, who responded with a nice 15, 8, and 5, but he won't get that level of playing time most nights. For the Suns, Kelly Oubre continues to be ridiculously good. 25 and 15, 2 threes, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 53% shooting. His numbers, especially over the last 2 weeks, is like 67% true shooting. Numbers which are wild. Like, he has never been a good shooter. He has been an average shooter this season. But over the last month, he's a well above average shooter. So I do think there is a drop-off coming. The defensive stuff, fine. I think you can keep that up. The minutes are really, really high as well. Look, just enjoy it. But if you can get someone who wants to give you a top 30 player, I would have no hesitation in getting that back in return. Booker struggled, ended up with only 12 points, but 9 assists and a triple one is nice, while DeAndre Ayton did have to go to the locker room with an ankle injury. He is still a really strong buy low. He's coming off the bench. That won't last, and the 26 minutes is here because of the ankle problem. 18 and 9 with 2 steals and a block, while Baines and Šarić continue to start and do nothing and are not, obviously, 12-team league guys. Ravishing Rick had 10, 4, and 9 in his 34 minutes, while McCall Bridges, only the 26 minutes, 10 points, got a steal, closed the game. He is firmly ahead of Cameron Johnson, as he should have been all season. Still should be playing more minutes than this, but he's going to be the closer every night. He's a good steals type of an option for a 12-team. Not a must-roster guy, though, but still, those steals are obviously, in general, pretty tasty from what he gives you. He does give them to you relatively regularly. The next game and the last game of the night was the Clippers going down to the Nuggets at home, 114-104. Sorry, not at home, at Denver. No Paul George. They made a change to the starting lineup. Two, in fact. Landry Shamet went to the bench, as did Mo Harkless, while Patrick Patterson and Lou Williams started. Now, Lou Williams' role continues 26, 4, and 4 in 35 minutes. With Paul George out, he's getting way more opportunities. Just look at his recent spike. Once George comes back, that's going to cut into Williams' value. He is a sell-high guy. The fun guy had 30, 5, and 4, while Montrezl the Table Harrell had 25 and 8 with 2 blocks on 69% shooting.
Giggity!
And 7 of 9 from the line. Patrick Patterson did nothing. I'm sure no one's surprised about that. We had 1 or 2 minutes of Jerome Robinson for God knows what reason. He is really bad. What a wasted lottery pick that was. Shamet did nothing. Harkless did nothing. There's solid players in the team. They just don't do anything from a fantasy point of view. Onto the Nuggets. Big Chungus had 20 and 15 with 6 assists. Nikola Jokic. While Gary Harris, only 24 minutes. Weirdly low minutes here for Harris. The fouls were an issue though. 15 points, 3 steals, 2 triples. The steals are really strong with Gaz so far this season.
Nice, Gary!
So he can be a 12-team league guy just for that. While Michael Porter, it's all just about if the shots go in for him. 13 points on 75% shooting, 19 minutes. So he got the extra minutes. But again, that's an unrealistic amount. He's not going to be able to shoot that well every night. Therefore, he's not going to be a fantasy option. So, and he's not going to get these minutes when the shot doesn't go in. He's still very lost on defense. The Blue Arrow had 19 points, Jamal Murray, while Will Barton was pretty poor, 6 points in 9 minutes. And Jeremy Grant copped a bit of a hard hit later on, but did come into the back into the game. 33 minutes, 11 points, 1 steal, 2 blocks. He's fine as a 12-team league guy while Millsap is out, but he's far from a must roster. Absolutely got to have this guy. I think his upside as a player in general is relatively limited. Let's move across now and just look at some injury news that did crop up. The big one, of course, is Rashawn Holmes is going to be out 2 to 3 weeks minimum with this shoulder issue. I am still holding on to him. We know he's been a top 50, top 60 guy for most of this season, but that's always really dependent on where you are in the standings. Are you at the top of your standings? Then you can probably afford to hold Holmes in those situations. If you're struggling for a playoff spot, maybe you have to make that hard choice. Of course, I would try to trade him before I drop him, because when you trade him, you're in generally getting back a top 120 player. If you're dropping him, the guy on the waiver wire is probably going to be outside the top 150. So it is a big difference there. So that's what I'd be trying to do if you just cannot hold and you've got other injuries. But in general, Holmes should be a guy you're looking to hold. Trae Young, dealing with that hamstring tightness, as I mentioned earlier. Hopefully it's nothing too serious and maybe it's just a game or so more that he has to miss. Let's move across to Monday for DFS. We're going to be looking at these games from a FanDuel perspective. All right, the first game we take a look at here, the Philadelphia 76ers traveling to take on the Indiana Pacers. Both Malcolm Brogdon and Domantas Sabonis are listed as questionable. Brogdon apparently now is dealing with strep throat to go along with that back issue, while Sabonis' knee is still causing him a problem. Jakar Sampson started last time in place of Sabonis, while Aaron Holiday and TJ McConnell get the boost there with Brogdon. If Brogdon does sit, it was McConnell that started last game, but it was Holiday that got the bulk of those minutes. Of course, Embiid is out for Philadelphia at point guard. Brogo himself's at 6,100. I'd be pretty cautious about using him in that scenario. While Ben Simmons at 8,200. Feels like an absolute lock for 40 points with Embiid out, so I do like Ben here. McConnell, not keen at all. While Aaron Holiday at 45, he would be the guy that I would go for in Brogdon's absence. At shooting guard, Joshie Richardson's at 5,800. Only 15 points last time out, which is obviously not great. I think he's an okay GPP sort of an option here. While Lamb's at 4,700, and he was less not great more not great than Josh Richardson. 7 points in 15 minutes last time out for Indiana. I'm not keen on him, especially if Brogdon is ready to go. At small forward, Toby Harris at 6,700. Really strong cash floor value with some upside as well. So I do like Toby there in that spot, while Tony Warren Jr. at 51, a really good cash play, I think, at that salary. That's super strong price for Warren. Upside is maybe not that high, but that's a really good floor value for him. The Painter, Matisse Thybulle, Jim Ennis, Justin Holiday, Dougie McDirt, who did drop in 30 last game, McDermott. If we do see that Sabonis is out, maybe we could look at Doug as a GPP guy, but I wouldn't feel great about that. I do feel pretty good about Al Horford at 6,200, who's really stepped it up with Embiid out. I like that salary. While Sabonis at 83, if he's ready to go, I think that's a really good option. At center, you've got Miles Turner. No Sabonis. Love that at 56. He dropped 55 points last time. If Sabonis plays, then he's just a toss-up, a GPP sort of a guy. That's really about all we can expect from Miles Turner. Next game, the New Orleans Pelicans, the Detroit Pistons. Of course, Blake Griffin is out for Detroit, while J.J. Redick, Jrue Holiday, and Derek Favors are all questionable. I would have to suspect that Favors misses this game. I think Redick probably misses as well. Holiday is the one that I'd expect to return, but we don't know that. At this point, Luke Kennard also out for Detroit. At point guard, Lonzo's at 6,300. He's just rolling in 30s almost every night. And that's obviously really impressive. And that has value at a $6,300 price point. Derek Rose at $6,900.
Giggity.
Yeah, giggity indeed. He has been really good. I just don't think 6,900 is what we want to spend. 35 average over the last five, which is okay. But is that topping him out? The only positive I'll give you, well, that's not true because he's playing well. The positive I will give you is that the Pelicans are a really good team for opposing guards to go up against. So that could be in Rose's favor, especially if Holiday happens to sit. I don't know why the Pelicans are so good for guards to go up against when Lonzo and Drew are there. But that has been the case so far this season. For your shooting guards, Redick and Snell, I'm not keen on. Galloway and Alexander Walker. Maybe Nikhil you look at, but probably not. We can do better. Drew's at 7,800, which I really like if he does happen to play well. The Shark, Bruce Brown at 4,900. Really disappointing last time out, Brownie. But I do think that he can be a 30-point guy, which gives him value at that salary. Josh the Hitman Hart at 4,400. I would be into him as a GPP guy if we get, say, Redick and Holiday both out. But even then, last game, he only had 20 points, which is not that good. At small forward, Ingram's at 9,100. He really struggled in that beatdown at the hands of the Celtics. I think he's going to bounce back from that. 9,100's a fair price, so he's in play. Etuan Moore and Markieff Morris are not. Sekou Doumbouya, 4,600. GPP's only really for him there, while Favors at 56. I like that his salary's come down, but I don't like the reason it's come down is because of his hammy. That would be a GPP one if he plays, because centers have had a pretty good run of things against the Pistons. Christian Wood, the Crucifix, at 4,700. Really strong performance last time out when Drummond got ejected, 48 points, but I don't think we need to rely, we can't rely on Drummond getting ejected again. Speaking of Drummo, he's at 10-5. I think that's maybe pushing a little bit too far for Andre Drummond, to be honest, and I think we might leave off that. While Jackson Hayes at 4,300 will become a must roster cash guy and tournament guy if Favors does happen to be ruled out, which is something I do expect. For the next one, we've got the Bulls and the Celtics. The Celtics are 9.5-point favorites, and the total here is 215. Of course, the Bulls have everybody on their injury report. Lauri Markkanen is probable. Daniel Gafford is probable. Ryan Archer, Jack Ano is probable. Chandler Hutchison is probable. Of course, Wendell Carter Jr. is out, as is Otto Porter. For the Celtics, Vincent Poirier is questionable. Vanilla Tice is questionable. And Romeo Langford is probable. At point guard, Tomas Satoransky, 4,600. He's been really poor of late. I think this is a good opportunity for him to get that number back and be a 25 to 30 point guy. I like him here. Kemba Walker at 7,000. Really good value, I think, for Kemba. Now, the Bulls are a team that does really limit opposition point guards, but I think Kemba can do that and do it pretty comfortably. Kobe White, not interested in him. Brad Wanamaker, no thanks either. Chris Dunn at 5,200. I think there's limited upside there in Dunn and enough of a downside that I wouldn't want to use him in either DFS format. For your shooting guards, Smart's at 4,700. Not really all that keen. I am interested in Levine at 8,200, who is putting up some absolute monsters. His lowest score, Zach Levine, in his last five has been 46 points, which is great. At small forward, Jaylen Brown also in a slump. Maybe as a tournament guy, he needs to turn it around pretty soon. While Gordo Hayward's at 66, also in a bit of a mini slump as well. I would be more interested in using Jaylen Brown here. For your power forwards, Thad Young had 9 points last game, even with Carter out. I don't think we get excited about him. I like Tatum at 8,000 and Lauri Markkanen at 54. That's a really nice price for Lowry. He has not been playing well, but at 5,400, there's value there. And Daniel Gafford, who, can somebody please tell me why he's listed as a power forward? He's at 4,800. He only played 23 minutes last game, but had 28 points. I think he's a 25-point guy pretty comfortably here, and it could push to 30+. So I don't mind Gafford as an option. Cantor destroyed New Orleans with 45 points. He's at 5,100. That is not an expectation to get to that level. But centers against the Bulls is one of your best matchups. So Cantor at 5,100. Hey, I definitely don't hate it because that matchup is really, really tasty for him. Next one, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Karl Anthony Towns, you'd be stunned, absolutely flabbergasted to know that he is questionable. If he doesn't play, Gorgui Dieng steps up, Naz Reid steps up, Noah Vonleh steps up, and we all just tear our hair out in frustration. At point guard, Jeff Teague's at 4,800.
My name is Jeff.
His name is Jeff indeed. He has not been great, and I don't think we need to use him here. We can use Chris Paul at a very tasty 6,900.
Giggity.
Paul is like a 34, 35 point guy most nights, can be a 40 point guy pretty comfortably. I like him here quite a bit. While Shabazz Napier somehow has been worse than Teague, averaging 13 points in the last three. You don't need me to tell you that that is shithouse and he should not be used. At shooting guard, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 6,700. Like the floor, like the upside. As with Dennis Schroeder at 54, really good floor value. Cash options, both of those guys. At small forward, Jarrett Culver's at 47. I actually think that's a really strong... Actually, before I get ahead of myself, let's talk about other shooting guards. Terrence Ferguson, he's bad. Anyway, small forwards, Jarrett Culver, 4,700. Like the floor value there for him. He's playing the minutes, which is helping. 6,100 for the Italian cock, Danilo Gallinari.
Hands off my cock!
6,100 is a really good cash price, I believe, for Gallo. Josh Okogie dropped just a casual 44-pointer last game. He has been trending up in the last two games. He is a weird GPP sort of an option. That's really about it. I don't trust it fully yet. For your power forwards, Bob Covington, 6,000. Really love what he's doing. He's in play here. Muscala and Vonleh are not. At centre, Towns at 10.5. I just have no trust in using him at this point. While Steve Adams at 66 is probably priced a smidge too high. Nothing too outrageous, but probably a smidge too high. And I do have to like the fact that Gorgui Dieng has tumbled to 4,500. Even when he's playing these limited minutes the last couple, he's still a 26-point per game guy, which at 4,500 is fine. So if Towns is out, that's a really good spot to deploy your Gorgui Dieng's trebuchet. The next game we look at, the Orlando Magic, the Sacramento Kings. A lot of injury news here, of course. Aaron Gordon is questionable. DJ Augustin is questionable. Marvin Bagley was probable. Now he's questionable. Michael Carter-Williams is questionable. Bogdan Bogdanovic is out. Corey Joseph is questionable. Just tons of guys who we don't know the status of at this point. We know that Rishon Holmes is out. So if Bagley plays, that's really going to help him in that scenario. While The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, and Harry Giles would be the beneficiaries if Bagley is out. Although the predicting what those guys are going to do is pretty tough. Actually, I can predict what Giles is going to do. Not much. At point guard, De'Aaron Fox, 7,600. Absolutely love it. Love that spot for Fox. Markel Fultz at 5,500. He's been getting you 34 a night over the last three. Playing more of a defensive role with Isaac out, generating the steals. I like him at 55. DJ's at 46. No, thank you. For your shooting guards, Budrick Hield's at 58. Love that he's come down that low. He's been struggling the last couple of games, but that is a really strong price for Hield. I'm in on that there. While Fournier, also at 56. Crushing it at the moment. 39 in his last one, 28 average over the last five. Really good floor value play, I think. Terry Ross can never say he's got a strong floor. He's always a tournament guy. For your small forwards, the pencil, Harrison Barnes. Barnesy. He actually was okay last game and had 28 points. But that doesn't get me turgid in any sort of way, so I think I'll leave him alone. Trevor Ariza, with Bogdan out, is weirdly putting up big numbers. 34 average over the last three, and at 4,700, that is enough. That's plenty, and I can't believe I'm suggesting that maybe we look at Trevor Ariza, but maybe we should look at Trevor Ariza. Huh. Marvin Bagley's at 47. I like it, especially with Holmes out, while Nemanja Bjelica at 49. I think that him and Bagley can coexist with Holmes out, and both of those guys have some value here. Aaron Gordon at 54, only for tournaments, while center, Nikola Vucevic, 8,200, massive floor, really love the floor, good cash game option, and Harry Giles, Mo Bamba, Dwayne Dedman, right, I can't get excited about those guys. Maybe you'd throw The Undertaker as a GPP guy. That is realistically about it. Next game, the Hornets, the Blazers, no spread out of this one. Hassan Whiteside has been upgraded to probable. Which is great news. He missed last game and Anthony Tolliver started. We don't want to live in a world where that's the norm. At point guard, Lillard's at 8,500. Probably a little bit too high with how Lillard's been playing. And the matchup is a marginal negative going up against Charlotte. Anthony Simons, he's not an option for us. While Rozier, 6,700. He's been consistently outdoing that number. I think he's worth playing here, even though the Blazers are, again, a marginal negative against point guards. Devontae Graham, 6,600, we know the shooting's been off for him, but this matchup is super positive. At that price, I'm in on using him. Christian James McCullum at 72, I also think that's a pretty good option. The Baconator and Malik Monk, no thanks. At small forward, Carmelo Anthony at 6,600, I think he's too highly priced for me to get excited about anyway. Miles Bridges at 5,000, well, he's been doing that comfortably. 5,000 is not a high price for Bridges. I'd be more than happy to consider him an option. Bazemore, no thanks. Power forwards, Paul Washington Jr. is at 57. I'll take Bridges over him and save the $700. Marvin Williams, no thank you. And then onto the centers. Whiteside at 10,000. I feel good about him getting to that number. We know, yeah, Bulls, going up against the Bulls as a center is great. Going up against the Hornets as a center is equally as good, while Biyombo and Zeller not DFS options, in my opinion. The last game of the day, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the LA Lakers. Anthony Davis is questionable. LeBron James is probable. Danny Green is questionable as well, as is Rajon Rondo. So quite a few ups and downs there. Larry Nance is out for Cleveland at point guard. The Padawan, Colin Sexton, 5,500. Massively strong floor value, limited upside. Dante Exum's questionable as well. He's at 4,100. The last time he played, he dropped 35 points in a really, really weird performance. I don't think we should get too excited about that. So that is that's not ideal. Who else are we looking at here in this one after Exum? Rajon Rondo. If LeBron is out, which it doesn't look like it, then Rondo's the guy to go for. He had 48 last game. No interest otherwise. For your shooting guards, Caldwell Pope, Danny Green, no thank you. Small forward, LeBron James. Wrong button.
LeBron James.
Thank you. 10-7. Love it. Let's go with LeBron. While Chetty Osmond's at 4,500. Absolutely not. At power forward, Tone Davis is at 10-9. He is questionable as well. Don't know if he is going to play, but if he does, a really good opportunity for a big 50-pointer. I think both LeBron and Davis can be utilized here. Kevin Love's at 6,800. Averaging 39 over his last three, which is okay. Probably still just for tournaments, though. While the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, 43 last game. He's at 4,700. If Davis is out, it's a no-brainer. If Davis is in, I'd want to do something different. Tristan Thompson also playing well. He's at 6,100, but this is a tough matchup for opposing centers against the Lakers. At 6,100, I'd probably fade off him. While McGee and Howard. Howard at 51, if Davis is out in a massively positive matchup, I think actually makes sense. He's averaging 32 points over the last three, Dwight. And if we do have Davis out, that does help him and give him some value we can use. If we flick it over to DraftKings now, I like Mallow over there, Whiteside, McCollum, Ingram, Tatum, LeBron, Gildas-Alexander, Fox, Schroeder, Davis, Haywood, some value over there on DraftKings. Full projections over on Basketball Monster as well. Guys, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. Leave a comment, give it a thumbs up, 5-star ratings, reviews. You know all of the ways that you can help make my 2020 sparkle. Hey, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Bismack Biyombo.